This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek coming to you from Fort Worth, Texas.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for August 3rd, episode 1226, brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, horse world.
It's Monday.
Monday is my favorite time of year.
This is Horses in the Morning with your lovable hosts, Jamie Jennings.
I am the queen. You listen to me.
I'm sorry that people are so jealous of me, but I can't help it that I'm popular.
Glenn the Geek.
You look especially radiant today, Your Grace.
I'm going to do a terrific show today because I'm good enough, and doggone it, people like me.
Happy Monday.
It should say Happy American Pharoah Monday. I mean, come on. Are you kidding me? We're going to get to talk about that and Glenn's podcasting conference. Thank you guys for joining us this Monday morning and getting up with us. And I got to ask you, but just on this side topic, before we get into all the horse stuff and to your podcasting stuff, does your dog like have a weird behavioral tic? Because I'm sitting here. My dog, Danny, is laying next to me, and when she gets all comfortable and she circles around and she lays down on the carpet, she licks the floor, like, forever.
Who does that?
Why do they do that?
I don't know.
She's Glory licking will lick, the carpet.
Glory will lick the wall. She'll just sit there. She'll lay down and on her bed, which is right beside the wall, and she leans up against the wall, and she turns and she licks the wall.
Okay, why do dogs do that? If somebody can answer that question, that would be very helpful. Because she looks comfortable and happy. It's not like she's stressed out. Like, this is her favorite place is when she's laying down right next to me. But then she just oddly, she's not licking her feet. She's not licking anything but the carpet. So we need to have a dog behaviorist on. Why do they do that? We need the Monty Roberts of the dog world. Please.
I met a lady this weekend that did a dog podcast. If I could find her card, we could get her on.
Get her on. We have dog questions and we need to know more. That or, you know, I don't know, a licensed veterinarian could probably answer things. But it's more fun to have a podcast. Yeah, that's true. Get her on. Somebody, please. I got to figure this out. It's just weird to have a big old circle wet spot on your carpet. Then you're like, oh my God, did they pee? Oh no, that was just my dog licking the floor. Okay. Sorry. Let's move on. Jennifer, what's coming up on today's show?
On today's show, once Glenn has thoroughly recounted his adventures at the Texas Podcast Convention, where he developed several new monikers and made lots of new friends, Jamie is going to recount her weekend, which I hear was really interesting. No, not really. And
no.
Then we're going to hear from Horse Nation's Leslie Wiley, who has great headlines, and she gets to go do some really cool stuff this coming week. And stay tuned for the fray.
Very good. Daily Winnie time.
That's my job.
Well, my Daily Winnie goes out to two people. Karen Chatton, host of the Endurance Day episode on Horses in the Morning, and she rode Bo, her Arabian, that's been her I think it's like her 8,000-mile horse, at the Tevis Cup over the weekend. Of course, the most difficult endurance race in the United States, 100 miles through the mountains and the desert. And she came in 22nd out of 220 riders.
Wow.
So good on her. That's her fourth or fifth time she's finished. And I think it might have been her best finish. Well, her show's coming up next week, so we'll find out. And then also, we have to give props to the winner. His name is Potato Richardson. Yes, Potato. Potato Richardson. He is the winner. It's his third win of Tevis. He was riding a 14-year-old Arab named Filouet. He has competed, get this, Jamie, at the Tevis, hardest race in America, 22 times.
Good Lord.
He started in the 1970s. He won this year at the age of 73.
Oh my gosh.
He is 73 years old. He looks like he's in his 50s. I mean, he's a big gray handlebar mustache. He's quite a character. He rode bitless. He goes bitless in all his races. It was his third win at the Tevis, and it's an anniversary. It's like the 75th, I think, this year. So it was a big deal, and everybody thought it was right that he won. You know, he was the right guy to win.
Wow.
So
if you think you can't do it, you can, because that guy can.
Oh, I'm telling you what, I mean, 73 years old, and this is a grueling race. All those pictures you see of horses climbing a rocky mountain straight up, that's Tevis. I mean, this is grueling, and good on him. Karen said that she's going to get him on our next episode of Endurance, so we'll have the winner on. So I just wanted to, good job on all of them.
Wow, that's absolutely incredible. I mean, that is something that I just can't even wrap my brain around, and how you begin to be able to do that. And it's just hard work and dedication. And to do it 22 times, holy smokes, incredible. Now, come on. You don't have to guess who my daily winnie goes to. What a joke. However, I'm going to give two Daily Winnies out, because it was not just American Pharoah's race day. That's right. Rachel Valentina ran yesterday in her debut race as a two-year-old. Who is Rachel Valentina? Rachel Valentina is Rachel Alexandra's daughter. That's right, her second foal. Now, just for those who go, hey, what happened to her first foal? Jess's Dream, her half-brother, the colt by Curlin and Rachel, is still in training for Stone Street with Kieran McLaughlin, same thing, at Saratoga, but had an injury, so he's been delayed, but he is in training right now. So we will hopefully see him soon as well. Now, Rachel's Valentina was in a 6-furlong debut race. She's, obviously it's a maiden special weight, for horses that have never won, $83,000 maiden special weight. Now the announcer, apparently is very boring. Not the one I watched on TV, but this announcer on this video is apparently boring. So stick with it and let's see what happens to Rachel's Valentina in her first race ever.
What? Currently unavailable? Wait a minute.
Uh-oh.
I had it all queued up, and it says, sorry, this video is currently unavailable. Let me try.
All right. Well, do you want me to come back to it? And I'll send you another link, Jennifer, and maybe you can play the American Pharoah.
Well, let's do this button. I'm going to hit this button right here and see if the video is now available. Let's see if it loads. Da-da-da-da-da-da.
Oh, my gosh.
The suspense is killing me.
Here, I'm going to send you a YouTube link, because I sent you the Blood Horse link, and what I need to do is send you the YouTube link.
I'm going to press the button and see if it works. There it goes. That's going to take a second, because I don't have it queued up.
There in the gate.
You hear it?
Yep.
And they're off. Awesome Dame. Is out for the early lead with Transact on the outside, and down at the rail, it's a Big World. Then comes Tail for Ruby in fourth. Nickname is fifth. Rachel's Valentina was off slowly and is in sixth right now. It's a break of two to the trailers. Wicked Fun and Renown. Up front, it is Awesome Dame, the leader here by three quarters of a length. With Transact racing in second, Tail for Ruby's on the outside in third. Just in behind is Big World, who's on the inside and running in fourth. And now Rachel's Valentina is gaining ground on the outside, taking up there with Transact. Rachel's Valentina is gaining ground with Nickname as they come for the top of the stretch. Rachel's Valentina is on the outside of Awesome Dame. Rachel's Valentina out in the middle of the track. Awesome Dame trying to hold off Rachel's Valentina. The two of them are heads apart as they come down for the 16th pole. Rachel's Valentina and Awesome Dame. And here is Rachel's little girl, Rachel's Valentina, in a dazzling debut. Was off slow, rallied, and got...
It was like, that's not boring. That was exciting. That announcer was great. Okay, so here's the thing is she started out like, what am I doing? What is this? All these horses next to me. She looked confused. And then it's like the bloodline just kicked in. She's like, oh, okay, I got
I'm
this.
I'm supposed to run.
I'm supposed to run. And she just looked like a deer in headlights kind of when she was stuck in the middle of the pack. And she seriously went wide. She ran a lot farther than the other horses in this race and went, like he said, to the middle of the track and flattened out in that last stretch drive and was just amazing. So, you know, this is exactly what I was hoping for Cosmic One, but he's just going to be a little bit behind. It's okay. He's not his first baby.
Maybe Rachel's Valentina and Cosmic One can have a play date.
And a baby. That kind of play date.
Kind of play date.
That's a whole different kind of play date.
That's my kind of play date right there. Come on. All right. So she won her first debut. Now, of course, we need to, Jennifer, if you are ready, to go ahead and take a listen to American Pharoah's race. I don't know if you guys have heard, but American Pharoah ran yesterday. And let's see what happened.
And they're off in the William Hill Haskell Invitational, and American Pharoah breaks out perfectly, and Competitive Edge is intent on going to the front, and he takes the lead. Mr. Jordan comes away in third, Upstart fourth through the opening furlong, four lengths off the speed. Then it's Top Clearance, followed by Keen Ice, and Don't Bet with Bruno is the early trailer. Into the first turn, Competitive Edge went a bit wide, opens up a length and a half on American Pharoah in second, and Mr. Jordan is outside of him in third. Upstart is fourth. He's only four lengths off the leader. Another couple back to Top Clearance, who's six in front of Keen Ice, and Don't Bet with Bruno's at the back. On to the backstretch, Mike Smith and Competitive Edge. They're in front by a length. American Pharoah cruising in second. Then it's Mr. Jordan in the clear third. Upstart traveling nicely in fourth. He's inching up nicely on the inside of Mr. Jordan. He takes the third spot heading to the half-mile pole. It's a big gap. Top Clearance is losing ground steadily. Keen Ice moves up inside of him, and Don't Bet with Bruno. Into the far turn, Competitive Edge has been there every step of the way. American Pharoah is a length behind second, and Upstart, these three are dominating as Keen Ice begins to make his move. American Pharoah comes looking for the lead at the quarter pole, and he quickly puts away Competitive Edge. Upstart on the outside third, then it's Keen Ice and Top Clearance. They're at the top of the stretch, and America's horse has opened up. It's American Pharoah with that majestic stride pouring it on through the stretch. Keen Ice runs into second. American Pharoah, the party continues as he rolls home in the Haskell. Keen Ice was second. Upstart third.
Okay. Oh my God. That horse cantered home. Like, it was the easiest race. I started to get worried. I'm like, don't ease up yet. Like, they're still coming. But he just so smoothly has the stride. It was a hand ride. Not a whip was raised during this race. It was like he wasn't running against.
It was a quarter horse lope.
It was a lope. And he's running against some really nice horses. It's not like
Keen
these
Ice at the end
horses.
There. Keen Ice was flying at the end there. He didn't break soon enough, or it might have been a race, but you're right. I mean, the horse just, Pharoah just never turned it on, never had to.
Well, and so what they were trying to say is, you know, maybe he was holding out some, you know, they want to save him for the next race. Now, I have some thoughts on this. Can you imagine and apparently the Zayats, when I was watching the race yesterday, he was talking about how he was more nervous for that race than he was the Breeders' Cup. Because, and I think why, is they've got such a responsibility to take care of that horse. You know, that horse is the darling of horse racing right now. And he's famous. He's been in Vanity Fair. He's so famous and he's doing the sport such good things. If he gets hurt, he will ruin. Well,
see, now that there's not just getting hurt, but if you come out after you've won the Triple Crown and you lose miserably in your next race, then a lot of that, then the negative press starts, right? Mm-hmm. So you've got a wave of negativity, especially from the mainstream press. Well, you know, obviously he could only do it when he was three, and then it just starts. So,
you know what?
I'm so glad.
Yeah. God love him for still racing him, because we get to see him, and I don't think there's just nobody that can beat him watching that race yesterday.
He's going to Kentucky in the fall, right? I mean, he's going to the Breeders' Cup.
Everything they're doing is planning on getting that horse to the Classic, to the Breeders' Cup Classic.
And so, you know what? They didn't have to. They could walk away now and say, we got the best horse, you know, in the last 40 years.
Can you imagine the ulcers that those people are getting? Holy cow. They have this amazing horse, but such an incredible responsibility for the entire sport of horse racing and the entire country right now is watching them. Oh, my gosh. So here's the thing. Record-breaking day at Monmouth Park yesterday. There was a crowd, the biggest crowd in Monmouth Park history, almost 61,000 people. There was a worldwide television audience. Do you know
now, that's a park that normally gets 4,000, maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. It's a New Jersey park. I mean, it's not. People just must be begging them to bring American Pharoah to their track, because they get days like this. American Pharoah went off as the 1 to 10 favorite, meaning you have to spend $10 just to win $1. The win ticket for American Pharoah gave you 20 cents.
Nobody cast them in.
You keep that. So the handle for the races, like how much was bet, was just out of control. I mean, it was a record-breaking day. So the news continues that Texas Red, our favorite horse, and Frosted, also a favorite horse that came in second, you know, to him in the Belmont, he actually... Both those horses are slated to go to potentially the Travers Stakes, which happens August 29th. So being that American Pharoah ran August 2nd, I would love to see him in the Travers. I don't think it'll happen. I don't think they'll run him in the Travers. I think they're going to wait to see these two in the Breeders' Cup Classic. What do you think?
I agree. I think they're going to kind of hold off now. I think I'll run him in one more race before Breeders' Cup.
Yeah, I think so too, for sure. And that's the thing, is that he's going to have almost a month before the Travers. But Bruno. I guess I heard Bob Baffert is not a super huge fan of the Travers, but he's won the Haskell Stakes like 7 times. So he's probably going to go where he's successful. But it was just such an exciting race day, and such an exciting day for horse racing in general, with Rachel Alexandra's daughter winning, and then to have him win in such amazing cantering home fashion under a hand ride, no challengers whatsoever, just awesome. But my gosh, the responsibility those guys have. Oh, please, AP.
Our personal friend, of course, the owner, you know.
Yes, we have had Justin on, and he is.
We have his email.
It's a close friend right now. Yes.
Close friend. Yeah.
Well, that's great. That's terrific. I'm so excited. I was so excited to hear the results and actually watch it, because I heard the results and it was like, okay, you know, maybe it was close. But then when you watch it, it was just like he was just glumping home.
So you're at a podcasting conference and you're the horse guy, and you weren't like, sorry, I need 5 minutes. I got to go watch a horse race.
By the way, this is the first time in history I've ever been referred to as the horse guy all weekend.
That's so exciting.
Never before have I been referred to as the horse guy. We've had a blast down here in Texas. And I'm going to start by thanking, we had a meetup last night of the listeners and a couple of the hosts here from Horses in the Morning. We had Alice from the trail riding episode every month. We had Mary Kitzmiller, and then Tammy Sarantz came over. She was here. And of course, Tammy's been with us for years, 6 years, probably longer than you, I think. So they all came over, and a bunch of our listeners, and Leslie Covington, one of our listeners, set it up and reserved the room and got everything organized. And we had a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun chatting with them all last night. They all said hi, by the way, Jamie. So we tried to call you last night to give you a hi over the phone, but you were busy, so we didn't get
you. I was feeding, you know, my life's work.
We did send you a picture, so... And we did post a video on Horses in the Morning Facebook page if anybody wants to see all of us at the restaurant. We had a great time. I'm a little hoarse from talking to everybody all weekend, but I got to tell you, I am so proud of our listeners, of our hosts, Jamie and Jennifer and all of them, Helena, everybody, and our sponsors, because I did not realize till I came to the conference this weekend, and this is all the top podcasters in the world. Some of these guys get millions of downloads.
How many did you say were there? How many people?
There were 1,200 podcasters here, and I would say about half of them, maybe about 600 of them, were new and just getting started, and they paid big bucks to be here. This wasn't a cheap conference. And the others were some more experienced ones, and then the old couple of us old grizzly veterans. So podcasting only started about 10 years ago, and we started about 8 years ago. So we started at the very beginning of podcasting when we couldn't even figure out how to listen ourselves, let alone listeners listening. Mm-hmm. But why I'm so proud is until we got here, this is what happened. And I wanted to tell you this. I couldn't wait to tell you and Jennifer this story and our listeners, because they need to be very proud. Is on the first day they had breakout sessions all day and these little mini TED Talks by podcasters about their stories and stuff. And, you know, there were probably 60 to 80 people in the room we were in. They had many rooms. And I was in this room with my friends from the Florida Podcasting Association, Chris and Neil, and Katie, his wife. And the four of us were just like the Four Musketeers all weekend. And the Florida podcasters were very well represented at this show. But we went and did this breakout session. Well, Neil, my buddy, was running the breakout session all day and introducing the talks and everything. Well, a couple guys didn't show up that were supposed to do talks, so he had about a 20-minute block he didn't know what to do with. And I said, well, I'll just get up and do some Q&A. So I got up, and I just introduced myself in literally 30 seconds and a little bit about the Horse Radio Network, how many episodes we've had, because we've done over 4,200 episodes. And we've interviewed over 6,000 guests on the Horse Radio Network. I mean, it's just amazing numbers. Well, as soon as people heard that, the hands went up. And I was there for almost 45 minutes answering questions, one right after another. As a matter of fact, he bumped back the next guest speaker. And that was it. That was all I was doing that. I wasn't even supposed to do that. He just needed a filler. I was swamped with people after. And then it started. Then the buzz went through. You know how things get blown out of proportion? At an event where one person talks to another. The entire weekend, I had people coming up to me because I had my hat, my cowboy hat. I was the only one. And I had my logo shirt on, and people were coming up to me all weekend. I heard about your talk. You're the highlight of this convention. I heard that 300 times over the weekend. Horse Radio Network was mentioned by these top podcasters getting millions of downloads, was mentioned in at least 10 of the sessions this weekend as an example of how to run a podcast and a podcasting network. They were all fascinated by the fact that people listen to our show while they're cleaning stalls. Everybody's focused on that. And you know how things get out of hand when one person's talking to another and another and another? By the end of the weekend, yesterday, I had people coming up to me saying, I heard you make millions of dollars doing podcasting. Funny. It's just, you know that little game you play in elementary school where one person telephone. Tells another and what was that called?
Telephone.
Yeah, well, telephone had us making millions of dollars, Jamie. At the end. It was so funny. But you all can be very proud. I talked to another one of the veterans that had started about the same time we did. And we kind of were, and a couple other people were kind of calculating it out. We think that based on the number of episodes we've done, the number of guests, the number of sponsors we have, that we're probably number two or three of all the podcasting networks in the world.
Wow. Now, what makes you rank that? I mean, what makes you rank that? Is it the number of episodes? Is it the number of employees?
Number of hosts, the fact that we actually have sponsors, which so many podcasts do not. And sponsors that are truly committed and believe in us and have been with us for as long as they have.
Yeah.
When you think about it, we have a retention rate, Jennifer, it's about 70%, isn't it? People start with us and they stay with us. That's unheard of. These people get sponsors for 3 months and they're done. You know, we've had many companies with us for 5, 6, 7 years.
And Omega Alpha, Kentucky Performance Products, Back on Track. I mean, those three have been with us since the beginning.
Equestrian Collection since the beginning.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of them. And these people all dream and drool over that. They just, I took a couple things away from it. And, I had at least 150 people come up to me and ask advice on their podcast. By the way, I'm going to tell you right now, if you're listening and you're offended by this, I don't care. It's going to save you a lot of time and hassle in the long run. Is if you're a life coach, which, by the way, I had no idea what that was until this weekend. I must have had 25 people who want to do life coaching. I want to help people and be a life coach, do podcasts on that. If you're going to go out and do a podcast on being a life coach, don't do it. I, first of all, didn't know what a life coach was. And the best we could figure out this weekend is there are people who didn't get a degree and want to like practice psychology stuff without a degree. That was the best I could come up with. But it's because we're in this little niche market. And by the way, we're in a niche market. We're horse people. And I hope I'm not offending everybody, but it's true. I include me in this. We are not technologically savvy like the tech people in the world, right? We're not programmers for the most part. We're just people that can barely figure out. I can barely figure out how to use my phone today. So, and yet we're all listening to the point where we have 130,000 listeners and are one of the top networks in the world, horse people. So you can all be very proud as horse people that we were very well represented in the podcasting world. So much so that I think I'm going to be asked to be in about 30 shows in the next couple months. And they want you on a couple of the shows too, Jamie. So, and these are people that get millions of downloads, are wanting to talk to us about how we do it. So you all can be very, very proud. I'm including the sponsors in that too. Without them, we wouldn't be here. And they believed in us when we had no listeners.
12. We had 12 when we started.
Yeah. After 3 months, we had 12. And
I think what I saw on Facebook was several of our listeners asking how exactly this whole thing got started. And in a, let's see, it's 26 after. So in 3 minutes, give us the brief Reader's Digest history of the Horse Radio Network.
Why don't we hear from Omega Alpha, and then I'll do that.
Okay.
Got to put our sponsors first.
Sounds good.
Omega Alpha specializes in natural formulations for enhancing equine health and performance, and they know how much personality and behavior can factor in the quality of our relationship. Whether we're an Olympic-level competitor or modest weekend warrior. That's why they've created three different all-natural formulas to help us get the most out of our horse-to-human relationship. Chill Liquid, formulated especially for horses with pre-performance jitters. Chill Ultra Paste, with the added benefits of B1 and magnesium. And Premare, the hormone balancer for witchy mares, and you know who you are. Look for all of Omega Alpha's all-natural formulas at your local tack and feed supplier, or you can visit them online at omegaalphaequine.com.
Thank you to Omega Alpha. We appreciate them being on board for so long. I did have a couple people last night ask me too, and then over the weekend on Facebook about the how we all got started, because we forget that we have so many new listeners all the time, right?
Yes.
And you know, for our old listeners, forgive us and give us a couple minutes here. But when I worked for my brother, I was a consultant for a lot of years, SmartPak, Bit of Britain, and then my brother hired me in the cable industry, David, to come in and help him get his business ready for sale so he could retire.
Now, also, which was most impressive to me, started Tack of the Day. Unfortunately, you didn't own it.
I did.
You started Tack of the Day, which I'm still an addict of, but tackoftheday.com if you want to spend your money.
My name is still on some of the emails, I think.
I know. I got an email back and they're like, thank you, Glenn the Geek. And I'm like, what? So unfortunately, Glenn did not own Tack of the Day, but he did start it.
I would be in a different room at the hotel here if I did own Tack of the Day. But yeah, so when I was working for my brother, we knew we were selling the company. My job was going to go away, right? I was a consultant with him. And he said to me, there's this new thing. He said to me this. He said, you're bored doing what you're doing now with him, because it was kind of boring. And he said, you need a creative outlet, because I've always had that with the acting company and everything I've done. And he said, there's this new thing called podcasting. There's a guy named Leo doing some tech podcasts. I need you to listen. You can do this. Oh, we had no freaking idea back in that day. That was the beginning of podcasts. Nobody knew how to do it. We were making it up. So I said, okay, I'll figure it out. I'm a geek, right? I can figure it out. We kind of figured it out. And I called Helena and I said, Helena, we need to do a show. Let's just call it. We came up with the name Stable Scoop. And I said, as an afterthought, I think I'd like to do more than one show. So I'm going to make a network. I'm going to call it Horse Radio Network. Well, for a year, we only had one show on the network. It was Stable Scoop. And we started and, you know, there were no listeners. And after 3 months, there were 12. And we were so excited that anybody was listening. But we didn't care because we were doing it because we wanted to talk to each other. You know, it was fun. We talked to each other. I continued working for my brother. And then that's how it started. It was Lena and I just wanting to talk to each other every week. She was a best friend of ours. And it grew. And then it, for some reason, it started to take off. And then we started the World Equestrian Games show, the 2010 radio show with Samantha Clark. And then Chris came on board with a couple of the other shows. And it grew much faster than I wanted it to back then.
Glenn.
Yeah.
And I might insert at this point, podcasting at this point was so small and so
yes.
unknown. Glenn couldn't get press passes to do any remote interviews. They wouldn't give us press passes because they're going, what's a podcast? That's not real.
First year at Rolex, I had to beg them to give us a press pass.
We lived there, for goodness sake.
Yeah, I finally called in favors to get press passes. I had to go to the president of Alltech to get press passes for the World Equestrian Games. And we had done the World Equestrian Games radio show for 2 years. We had thousands of listeners, and I had to go to him to get press passes because they wouldn't give
me. Thank you, Dr. Lyons.
So Dr. Lyons, thank you so much. And Susanna was a godsend back then. But it was, you know, Alltech pretty much owned the games, and that's the reason we got press passes. And they were handwritten with exclusive access to everything because Dr. Lyons called them up, and they had refused to give us press passes. He called up the press manager and said, they will be there. And we got these very fancy gold press passes. So it was kind of cool. But yeah, I mean, nobody knew us. Nobody knew how to listen. You couldn't do it. You couldn't listen on your phone then. You had to listen on your computer or figure out how to download it through iTunes to your iPod, which required a lot of steps. I mean, so the people listening back then, the Rondas of the world, were truly dedicated. I give them credit. But we grew, I have always wanted to be in radio. I always wanted to do a morning drive radio show. I knew I was never going to get hired at a radio station to do that because nobody radio station wants to hear anybody talk about horses, which is the only thing I knew about. So we put an ad. This is how Jamie got started. We put an ad on Facebook, and all we said, Jamie, was pretty bland. That was like two sentences, wasn't it? We need a host for a new show. We didn't say what kind of show. We didn't say anything, really.
Mm-hmm.
And you saw it on Eventing's page.
I was at work. I was a vet tech at the time, and it was about 120 degrees. And I was so tired of standing outside in the sun, floating horse's teeth, because I'd moved here for this guy, and I left my morning radio show that I'd been doing in Atlanta on several different stations for over 10 years. And I see this ad pop up on my smartphone because I was like, you know, not working at the moment. And
that was surfing. Early days of smartphones, too, for that matter.
I know, it was very early. And so I saw the ad and it said, looking for someone to host looking for a new host on the Horse Radio Network. Well, I had listened to the Eventing radio show before. So it said, call this number and leave a voicemail. So I called the number. I'm like, hi. I didn't think about it at all. I was standing there at work and I just called and I said, hi, this is Jamie. At that time, I had a different last name, I think. Yeah, I think it was before I was even married. I said, hi, this is Jamie. I have 10 years of radio experience and I'm into horses. So here's my number. And the message said, we may contact you in 7 to 10 business days. Glenn called me back in like 10 minutes.
Well, this is what happened. We got 85 voicemails. And Jennifer and I got wine one night. We got a bottle of wine out. And we started sitting there going through the voicemails. And let me tell you, there were some really, well, none of them were very good. They were all just rambling about their horses and their life. And they like to talk about horses.
And if you, as a listener, are one of those people, he does not mean anything negative to you.
No.
We appreciate you trying. However, you sucked and you didn't get the job. Sorry.
So the last voicemail we listened to was yours because you had just called. It was
5 o'clock my time, so it was like 8 o'clock your time.
Yeah, and it was evening. Remember, Jennifer, we were doing this, and we kept going through the voicemails, and most of them we'd listen to for 10, 15 seconds. And then we got to the end, and I went, I just don't think the right person is there, because we knew we needed morning show personality, you know? And then we listened to yours, and I said, that's it. That's her. And I called you up immediately. And then,
Barn, and I walked to the office, and my phone rang. Like, that's how quick it happened. And I thought, oh, gosh, okay. So, anyway, go ahead.
And then we made your audition. We made you actually host a show and book your own guest, and you booked Chris Cox.
Let me tell you guys something, if you haven't, because you didn't hear this show, but I not only booked Chris Cox, I also booked Todd Pletcher. So yes. I had Booyah as my fake show, Chris Cox and Todd Pletcher, neither of which I think we've ever had on the show since then. And Glenn does not have either one of these interviews. So talk about trying to impress you. Hello,
you Chris did, Cox, and we and then we had other
Todd
good-
Pletcher. To this day, he thinks he talked to the Horse Racing Radio Network. He has no idea who he was talking to.
We had three other people audition, and that I knew, and we actually sent those four shows to some of our listeners that I'd picked out that were longtime listeners, and we had them vote, and you won the vote. And then we did this. Jamie doesn't know us from Adam. We probably talked to her a couple times. And we said to her, okay, I'm not hiring somebody that we got to spend every morning together. We got to like each other. You don't want to work for us if you don't like me and I don't enjoy doing the show. You had done shows like that before in radio, so where you didn't like your co-host. And I knew that, you know, we had to like each other. So we said to Jamie, hey, come out and live with us for 4 days in Kentucky. So here, you must have been, I don't know what went through your mind when we said that, but you did.
You know what went through my mind? What the hell? Let's go. I don't care. Go spend the week at some total stranger's house. I'm going to Kentucky. It's fine. You lived in Lexington at the time. I thought, you know, at least I had friends there. If these people turn out to be serial killers, I can just go stay with a friend.
We had the best time. We toured the park. We did a whole bunch of stuff.
I would also like to say that the first impression that I have, I get out of the airplane, I walk down to where I'm going to get picked up, and I see Glenn, and what is the first thing that he says to me? He's such a guy. Wow, you're a lot shorter than I thought you were going to be.
There we knew it would be a match made in heaven, just that. Set the tone for your entire career.
And Jennifer rolled her eyes, and I thought, okay, I can get along with these people.
But that's how it started. That was the origin, and all the other shows have their own stories of how they came to be. But that's how the network started, and Stable Scoop and Horses in the Morning. That's how it all got going years ago, and we've been together.
However, think that, you know, some crackpot guy that does a radio show about horses. I mean, this guy has got to be loaded to be able to do this for a living. I mean, this guy has got to be just banking, like you read about. I'm probably going to they're flying me out to meet them. I'm probably going to be staying in some McMansion in Lexington. And I get there, and that was most definitely not the case. So I love you. I stuck with you.
It still is not. By the way, we are not making millions of dollars for anybody listening for the first time this morning.
We would love to, though, so if you know anybody. Yes.
Yeah. You guys, he had, and they had, and I love them, lawn furniture in their dining room.
Yep.
Okay, lawn furniture. So I was like,
you caught
okay.
on to that, did you?
I did. I might have noticed. Oh, you guys are awesome.
Well, this weekend, I bet you think we do weird podcasts. There's a podcast of just some two guys eating cookies. That's what they do. They eat cookies, and people send them cookies, and they eat cookies. And that's what they do. That's the whole podcast, is them eating cookies.
No way. Oh, my gosh. How hilarious.
And then there's a podcast that's very popular. I mean, tons of downloads of people eating food. They get food sent to them from around the world, and they eat it on the air and tell everybody whether they like it or not. I need to get the name of that one because I want to listen to it. But
were they super fat?
I don't know. I don't know anything about them, but that's one of the podcasts I learned about this weekend.
I thought maybe
and then I met. I met so many people that do podcasts that had horse, had their wives have horses, their kids had horses. I met so many people that had horses that do podcasts. And the one guy I met, I have a recording for it. I want to play it for you right now. He is a dentist, and he does a podcast for dentists. And apparently it's very popular in the dental community. Well, we were at the Fort Worth Stockyards Saturday night for a party, so it's very loud, but you can hear it. Here's my...
Hold on. Is the show called The Guy Nobody Likes?
Well, he did address that. I brought that up, and he said, you know, he said if the guy could have been a chiropractor, you know, you can't throw the whole dental community in. He said, I don't hunt, so you can't say that I'm part of this. So,
No. I just meant nobody likes dentists, period.
Oh, that's true. Well, this show is geared toward other dentists.
So. Okay.
So here it is. Here's my interview with the dentist whose wife happens to be a horse person. Hey, everybody. Glenn here, and I am at the Fort Worth Stockyard tonight for a party that we're having during the podcaster convention. And we've met a whole bunch of different podcasters doing a whole bunch of different things here. And I meet this guy the first day who we've been hanging out ever since. And he has a podcast for dentists. Yes, that's right, for dentists. And I assume you talk about dentist stuff.
We talk about dentist stuff, yeah.
Yeah. So what kind of things do you do on a podcast for dentists?
Oh, it's interesting. What we do is we divide the podcast into two segments. The first one, we're interviewing someone in dentistry that's interesting, someone who teaches or someone who's got a special way of doing things. And then the second half, we call the Brain Trust, where it's a bunch of my friends that get together, like your round tables, and we kick around an idea, whether it's the best marketing techniques or what's your favorite kind of patient. Or a lot of times we complain about, you know, running an office or, you know, we just talk about stuff that all dentists run into. So it's very appealing for the regular dentists out there.
Are they required to have a little Novocaine first?
Yeah, it helps. It helps a lot, actually, really. It's surprisingly, I have to say, it's surprisingly fun, and it's we keep it very light. Dentists are known to be pretty serious,
yeah.
So we make sure we keep it real light, because that's what I'd want to listen to. Yeah, oh yeah. My gosh, yes.
Yeah.
We're famous for that.
I was wondering about that when you said you did a podcast for dentists. I was like, man.
That sounds like pulling teeth.
Yeah, but you're a good host for that. I can see why. You're a lot more fun than any dentist I've ever met.
We lighten it up. That's our thing, for sure.
And then, about half the people I've talked to here have some relation to horses, and you do directly.
I do directly.
Tell us about that.
Well, my wife and I live on, with our two kids, we live on a boarding horse farm. We've had, actually, this is our second one. We moved into a bigger one. So she and I, but lately it's been me, feed 19 horses two times a day.
They're not yours.
No, okay. We have four. We have four horses plus a miniature
dog. And she's a dressage rider,
She's
right?
a dressage rider, and then she manages the farm. I'm the hired help.
Does she make you go watch dressage shows? You can answer.
Yes and no.
There's nobody listening. It's okay.
I used to. But now, since we have kids, I kind of can get out of it that way. But I've been known to watch some shows, yes.
Is that not the most boring thing? That's even more boring than a dentist podcast.
Well, here it is. The problem is this. If you don't know what dressage is, you have no idea what you're looking at.
That's right. That's
like,
true.
I'll sit there in the stands with my wife watching them, and she's going, oh, my gosh, look at that. I'm like, what?
What?
What are they doing? What?
You didn't even
riding
see anybody
circles.
Move.
Exactly. She's like, that's the point. I'm like, I don't understand. I watch her I'll take the coach comes in and gives lessons, and I watch it. The coach is giving her all these pointers. I'm like, what? I don't get it. So, yeah, that's me.
Where can people find a dentist podcast?
Well, if you're looking to find a humorous dental podcast, you go to, it's Dental Hacks, all together, Dental Hacks Podcast.
H-A-C-K-S?
Yes, dental, like Life Hacks, but Dental Hacks,
Hacks
Podcast.
Podcast.
Yeah.
All right, good.
We'd love to have you guys.
Alan Mead, thanks for being on.
Thanks a ton. It was great to see you, Glenn.
I found some funny. Interesting people. I know. He was funny. I want to listen to his podcast about dentists, for dentists. And then I got a nickname this weekend that kind of stuck through the whole weekend. And we had a chance to be in a professional recording studio. You can hear a little bit of background noise. But these are like, you know, $500 microphones and, you know, paneling on the walls that curb sound and all this stuff. And I was with my two buddies, Chris, who runs the Florida Podcast Association, and Big M, my buddy Neil. And he's going to tell us how I got that name this weekend. We talk a little bit about podcasting and Florida podcasters. So this is a recording we did with them. And then we're going to come back. We have more coming up. We have a song. We have Leslie from Horse Nation will be with us. And we'll stop talking about podcasting, I promise. But here it is.
Hi, hey, welcome to the podcast movement. So I'm here with Glenn the Geek, and I'm Chris the Greek. And we're just having a lot of fun. The Florida Podcast Association members, a lot of FPAers, came out to this event. And Glenn, you have the Horse Radio Network. Tell me your experience as a podcaster coming out to this national conference that's in its second year. What has it been like for you?
It's been a lot of fun. I've been able to help a lot of people. Thanks to you. You're like my agent running around here telling everybody about me.
Yeah, actually, we booked you on one of the largest podcasts in the country.
Thank you for that, by the way. No, it's been a lot of fun. I've met a lot of people who are just starting out, and it's really cool to be able to share what we've learned all these years with the terrific listeners we have, and, you know, the feedback they've given us, so we've been able to refine the shows to make them what they want to hear.
Well, this is testament to you and your audience, and I think everybody that listens to the Horse Radio Network should know that we had some extra time to fill in day one. You were not slated to do anything. Neil Gilarte, a fellow friend who has all things
Big
Post.
M.
Big M. As you call him Big M, he calls you double O Glenn. Right? So he said, Glenn, why don't you come up and share some Q&A. So for all the Horse Radio Network fans, so Glenn gets up there impromptu, starts talking about podcasting. Your passion shows through. Literally the next day, you and I are sitting at, there's an award show. At the end of the award show, the people that were nominated for awards came up to you. And you thought they just wanted to, you were actually congratulating
them.
You were
watching, yeah.
They go, no, we want to talk to you. Tell us what you're doing, how you built this Horse Radio Network, because the passion that your audience has and the passion you have for your podcast really shows through, and it's amazing to see out of 1,000 podcasters, you're the one getting swamped, and I think it's also because of the cowboy hat that you're wearing and the cowboy boots.
I am representing the horse world here today.
It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool to watch you shine, so I'm just proud to hang out with all the great podcasters, and we all met because we started a little meetup in Florida to get all the Floridians together, and then we had PodFest, which we're going to be doing once a year.
I got to tell you, I want to thank you, Chris, too, because I hate coming to these things because you're alone, you don't know anybody, you're talking, you meet some people along the way, but you're pretty much alone through the whole thing. Being part of the Florida Podcasters Association, it's been a whole different experience this time. It's been so much fun, and I've really had a great time, and I'm really glad to be part of your group. And that we just get to get together and have fun.
Well, Glenn,
doing what, we love
what we're going
to
do is we're going to bring your partner in crime, Neil Gilarte,
yes!
in here.
Yes,
the Big M, as you've nicknamed him. And he's got it. And his shirt says what, that's Glenn?
Momentum. Hashtag momentum.
So here's Neil Gilarte from All Things Post. He was here last year.
Hola.
So Neil, you were hosting a breakout session this year. So tell us a little bit about your experience here at the podcast movement as a Florida podcaster.
I'm excited to be here. My show turns one
year old
today.
Oh, wow. Congrats. Happy birthday.
I launched my show at Podcast Movement last year. I lost on August 1st. I knew nobody when I came here. I've been really excited this year. I got to host the PMX room, and I had Glenn in the room, and I also had you in the room. And, you know, when it got a little bit sort of where we needed a little bit of inspiration, I called Glenn up, and he exploded. Everybody loved his Q&A session. It turned out to be one of the highlights of the entire day. So I'm just happy to
You know what's really cool as Florida podcasters? We've all really bonded. We actually created these little orange bands to give to anyone that's from Florida. Buzzsprout, the team, is out of Jacksonville. We love these guys. And they're the ones actually giving us the equipment. They set up a mobile studio at the movement to record, and they're part of the family.
Amazing.
I mean, we've hung out with them now numerous times.
Yeah. Well, that's the cool thing about Podcast Movement, if I can just say my little piece, is that, you know, we're proud to be Florida podcasters, but it was so cool to get here, and we know all these guys already, and it's because our association introduces us to them at our local level, and now here we are in another state, in another place, and we know all the guys. Buzzsprout is amazing. They're incredible, and I just wish them the best and thank them for making this awesome booth that's extremely professional. These guys, Tom is amazing, and he's so good-looking, too. So I just want to thank Buzzsprout and you, Chris. I got to give you so much credit. I'm watching you introduce everyone to everyone, and no one gives
you
enough credit.
No, but you know what? I have to say this.
Thank you for everything you do for us.
We all really like each other. Like, we hang out with each other by choice, which I think is a unique thing. We really like hanging out with one another.
Yeah.
So it's cool that we could, what I call, pivot off each other. It's easy for me to promote Glenn because he's so passionate what he's doing. It's easy for me to promote Mr. Momentum, you with your T-shirt, but with All Things Post. And you guys have all picked some really cool niche podcasts. And what I'd like to do is I'm going to bring you and Glenn back up without the headset. We'll have you guys sharing a mic if that's possible. We're going to turn it over to the buddy duo here of Glenn and Neil. or as they call each other, the Big M and the Double Glenn. Thank you, Doc. Thank you, Doc. So, boys, why don't you just, they don't need the headset. Boys, why don't you just share the mic if possible? You guys are comfortable with each other to share, right?
So, yeah, we can do that.
Me and Double O Glenn.
All right, you got to tell everybody, you got to tell, I'm playing this on our live show Monday morning. So you got to tell them why I got the name Double O Glenn.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you the very short, very brief, and very real quick. I was landing at the airport. I had no idea how I was going to get to PM15. And lo and behold, I get a text from Glenn saying, Neil, I landed just a little bit before you. If you want, I'll pick you up in my car. So I was so grateful, as was my wife, by the way. And so I go outside waiting for the car. And I see all these, you know, economy rental cars coming by. And I figured maybe he clicked most affordable when he booked the car.
Which I usually do.
And then I literally see, like, the Bond music. I hear it kick in my ear, and I see a silver Audi, a beautiful car, pull up. And there's Double O Glenn, because I call him that because he looked like a spy driving up. He pulls up. He goes, hey, Neil, he increased my value because I'm getting into an Audi when everybody else is in a Hyundai. So it just I decided to call him Double O Glenn because he's like a spy. And then he started hitting all the buttons, and I was like, this guy's going to get me ejected out of this car. And so now he called me M, and I'm
so
Big
Glenn,
M.
So, tell
and
everybody
that's our
the
story.
cool website that you have found where people could get these rent these Audis.
Oh, it's called, I got to tell you, it's the first time I use this rental car company. It's called Silver Car. Silver Car. You can just search for it on your app store on your phone. And it is the coolest thing. They only rent this version of Audi. It's loaded. I couldn't figure out how to use navigation. We were playing with the buttons going 70 mile an hour down the highway. The windshield wipers were going. I didn't know how to use any of it. But it was fun. I mean, it is fun. I got to tell you, for all my horse listeners, though, you punch that gas pedal in that Audi, my pickup truck does better than that Audi did. Oh, I got to tell you, our pickup trucks still have more power.
Yeah, man. It cracked me up. You know, it's made it a fun trip, though, just to kind of go off what he said, that being here with other families made it so much funner than if we were here alone. We had so much fun in the car even before we got here. So that means by the time we got here, we had a great attitude. We were in a good mood. And we've been laughing all weekend about the car. So, you know, it's been great to be with Double O Glenn all weekend.
I'll tell you, one of my highlights is when you guys came and picked me up and we went out to have some barbecue, some Texas-style barbecue at a local place in Fort Worth called Risky's, which I highly recommend. But then when we got back to the room, we all came up and you guys just made my laugh, smile, my wife smile and laugh her ass off. You guys are just fun to be around with. We really should make a movie. You guys are definitely a buddy comedy. We got the Venezuelan over here that's lived, you know, in L.A. all over the place. And then you got Glenn the Geek who's got the cowboy hat and the technology going on.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll invite everybody that's listening can come out to PodFest when you come to Florida, and we will rent an Audi just for you. Double O Glenn and I will roll up in our Audi. Yeah, I'm going to do it on his dime.
He's paying too, yeah.
And we'll give people a ride around the block wearing the cowboy hat, all right?
I just want to make sure we know that Neil Gilarte made that comment. So just to make sure we tag that. That wasn't... yeah. Well, guys, I'm having a blast. All I could tell people is when there's an opportunity to go to a conference that is your interest, forget about podcasts, whether it's a conference around... I've learned this throughout my life. If there's a conference that is your niche and it's your people... make sure to attend that conference because you meet connections you otherwise would have never met. And you know what? They do cost some money, you know. And I'm an organizer. What people don't understand is when you put up a conference with 1,000 people, you almost have to charge $300-$400 a ticket because the costs are exorbitant. You know, just to set up a stage could cost $50,000.
Yeah, but what's the cost of making new friends, learning new
things?
Well,
and that's what you have to weigh. So make sure you go out to your local conferences. Make sure to support podcasts. Glenn, like the Horse Radio Network, you gave a voice to a whole community that never had a voice. And it's pretty powerful, and people are seeing that. You're giving a voice, Neil, to editors, people that are edit software. The only time we ever see their names are in those credits that no one really sits through. Unless there's some B-roll at the end with some kind of comedy sketch.
Absolutely.
But I want to thank the Buzzsprout boys. I want to thank Jared Easley, our friend. Dan Franks. Their other two partners that put this on. And for anyone in the local area of the state of Florida, when we put up PodFest next year in 2016, make sure to come out to hang out with Double O Glenn. That's his nickname. Mr. Momentum / the Big M.
Big M.
And we have our own local podfather who we break out. And he sits in a king's chair there in the corner of the room is where we usually place him. Any closing comments, boys?
What?
just I agree totally with what you said, and even in our world, you know, we're new media, but yet getting out to meet people in person still is the best way.
There,
it really
no
is. Yeah, I mean, you can talk on the phone all you want, but
there's no substitute for it, right?
Yeah, that's right.
How many times have we heard people said, "Oh, I got to put"?
My closing comments is just get involved. Don't just be a podcaster in your bedroom. Coming to these events has literally changed my entire scope of my show. And just come out and be an active podcaster, and you will see the results in your show.
I'm Chris Cremizzo, signing over now for the Florida Podcast Association, and for the boys at Buzzsprout out of Jacksonville. Thank you for doing this for us. We love you guys. We'll see you at PodFest. We will have your vendor table all set up. So whatever you guys want to set up, we're there. Thank you, guys. Take care.
That was awesome.
So I hope that wasn't boring for everybody, but it was a lot of fun for us to put together, and they have become really, really good friends of mine, and I'm so glad I met the guys from Florida Podcast Conference or Association.
That's great. Well, it's fun to hear you get interviewed. Ha. It's stressful.
It's uncomfortable.
It's awful. I hate getting interviewed. I'm way better on the other side.
Well, you're going to have a few of those coming up. I hate to tell you, but there's going to be a few of them coming up. By the way, silvercar.com and Silver Car on your app store. At $49 a day for that Audi.
That's
and it's,
not bad.
It's a nice car.
I was definitely expecting something other than the rental car you drove to be the reason for your nickname, but
no,
I'll take
that was it. That was it. That's
Glenn
all I got.
Has no actual cool ranking. He needs to have some kind of technology to up his ranking. Yeah,
that's right.
In case it was a car.
All right, let's play a song.
Alrighty, here we go. Beautiful day from Templeton Thompson. Thanks to the genuine support of Omega Alpha Equine.
There's a bluebird on some barbed wire. There ain't no clouds, only blue sky. And I got flowers in my garden. Yeah, it's looking like a beautiful day. So I was thinking I'd go walking down the dirt road. Maybe stop and smell the roses. Take it easy, cause it's looking like a beautiful day. Beautiful day, yeah, yeah. Beautiful day. Ain't it beautiful? Beautiful day, yeah, yeah. Beautiful day.
Templeton Thompson, it's a beautiful day. And Jamie, we have to give props to Jennifer, who's sitting in the captain's chair for the first time, and she's doing great.
Doing a fantastic job. We appreciate you being there, Jennifer, and your husband appreciates you letting him go out with these crazy, wacky podcasters for all weekend.
I know we're going to have Leslie coming up here in a minute. How was your weekend?
I'm home.
All right. Anybody that wants to know the rest of that story has to listen to Friday's show.
I'll give you a brief version. Is I went to a wedding, Chad's cousin's wedding, and that part of the family, and I just really apparently. It's just not a loving relationship, I could say that. So I had to go because my in-laws made it a vacation kind of around the wedding. And I'd never been to Oregon. And we went there and we hiked. And, you know, Lucas hung out with his cousins. And it's all the family that lives and or will live in Oklahoma when we move to our property there. So that part was great. The entire thing was great. The wedding was pretty long and tedious, but try to keep a baby happy.
Most weddings are.
Oh my gosh. It was exhausting. Let me just tell you that. So, but the whole trip was great, but definitely ready to be home. That's right.
What a different topography that you were seeing up there in Oregon than you're normally seeing Phoenix.
We're like, what are these trees and these hills and this wet stuff in the air?
Oh, it's green.
Did you just say tree?
Yeah.
I don't know if he can say tree. He says cactus. No, I'm just kidding. Oh my gosh, but it was great to hang out with the family and be there, and I appreciate everything that my my in-laws did to get us all there and together. But yeah, I'm glad to be home. Thanks for asking. I gotta stop myself in case anybody listens.
Was there any other big news over the weekend? I've been totally out of touch as far as the horse world is concerned, so I don't know if there was any other news over the weekend.
Aside from this huge day of horse racing yesterday, I don't know if you know this, but American Pharoah won the Haskell yesterday. We can play the race again if you want. We can always do that.
Well, I know that Leslie's coming up. When Leslie pops in, I'm going to hop out because I have to head to the airport. I have a little bit of a drive to get there, and I have to drop off my silver car. So,
just looking at that. Now, do they have silver cars all over the country, or is it certain cities? How did you find it?
It's 10 cities. I saw an ad on Facebook for it, and I just went to their page. I had a sponsored ad on Facebook. What makes silver cars so cool, and why I'll probably use them everywhere I go, is it's all done on the app. You put your credit card in and everything. And you put your insurance information in the app, and then you book the car through your app. And then when you show up at the airport, it tells you exactly what to do on the app. It says, go here. And then you hit a button that says, pick me up on the app. And you get a text that says, we're on the way to pick you up. 2 minutes later, this Audi pulls up. They pick you up in an Audi. And this very lovely girl takes me back to their lot. And what you do is you take your phone and you scan the QR code that's on the windshield. You just pick an Audi. They're all the same. They're all exact same silver Audi. It's all lined up there. And you pick one and you just scan the QR code on the windshield and you literally drive off. No lines, no checkout counter, nothing. And then when I drop it off, all she'll do is scan the QR code on the window, drive me back to the airport. That's it. That simple.
Okay, hold on. What I would like to say here is I don't think you should give a glowing recommendation of this company until you... Oh, we're calling Leslie.
Jennifer, you're calling the wrong one. You're supposed to be calling her Skype.
Well, I tried that 3 times and there's no answer.
Oh. Yeah.
So there we go.
So I think you shouldn't give them a glow. Hey, Leslie, let me finish my thought real quick. I think that, Glenn, you may want to check your credit card and before you give them a glowing review. They could scam you. It could be.
It could be. But I got a funny story to tell you. The girl told me that when they first started this, the investors, they were going to do it with VWs. And they were going to use a VW Passat, but it's still a VW, right? And the investor said, no, I think we need a car that's a little flashier if we're going to make
it. I own a Passat. Thank you very much.
Do you?
Passat. I love my car. cooler.
But I don't know that it quite has the sound pizzazz of a Audi, you know?
You know who owns Audi?
VW, baby.
Yep.
Is it really? That's funny. Hi, Leslie.
Hey. Sorry to interrupt.
She's in the captain's chair, and apparently she could not get you on Skype. It was not working. So.
Weird. Yeah, I was like, who's calling me from Maryland? Yeah, I'm supposed to be on Horses in the Morning right now. What?
Well, I'm going to let you guys go. I have to head to the airport. Leslie, it's good talking to you. Have fun, and we'll talk to you all tomorrow morning on the show.
Bye, Glenn. Fly safe. Enjoy your ride back with the serial killer from Super Silver Car. All right. How are you, Leslie?
I'm great. How are you?
Well, we're doing fantastic. Glenn is at a conference in Texas right now, so he's apparently going to come home now. So you're stuck with Jennifer and I.
Yay, girl day.
girl day.
Girl party.
Now, let's talk a little bit about what's going on at Horse Nation, because first of all, this really took off. I've never played it, though, so just give us a brief Reader's Digest version of what is Cards Against Humanity.
Cards Against Humanity. I've been introduced to this at a few parties. It's sort of something that, like, it gets broken out after a few people have had a few drinks. It's sort of a party game. It's a card game. Basically, it's sort of like apples to apples, but for a mature audience, I guess. Like, it's sort of politically incorrect, a little bit irreverent, a card game where you sort of like you draw a card with it has a statement on it with a blank, and then people have a handful of cards with random phrases on them, and so you sort of can lay down whatever whichever answer or fill in the blank inserts you think would be the funniest or the most entertaining, and then the person who's reading the statement chooses which one they like the best, and then that person gets a point. But that's basically how you play it. But for all practical purposes here, that's probably pretty confusing.
Okay, so I went to their website, and it says the first thing, cardsagainsthumanity.com. What is Cards Against Humanity? It's a party game for horrible people. That's what their website says. Unlike most of the party games you've played before, Cards Against Humanity is as despicable and awkward as you and your friends. The game is simple. Each round, one player asks a question from a black card, and everybody else answers it with their funniest white card. The reviews are horrible, hilarious, blah, blah, blah. So it must be fun. So I'm trying to find an example. Go ahead and give us an example of a card against humanity.
Okay. So for the regular people version of the game, an example of that might be on the black card, somebody reads the statement, "I'm sorry, professor, but I couldn't complete my homework because of blank." And someone might answer with a statement from one of their white cards, which would be poor life choices. I couldn't complete my homework because of poor life choices.
Okay, so you just kind of make it funny, and you just put a card in. So there was an equestrian version. Now, is this real, or did you just make it up?
It has been something that sort of taken off in a little way on the internet, you know.
Okay. So what were some of the examples that you guys had?
We noticed it. And of course had to take it and run with it from there. We've got George Morris said, "My riding looks like blank." That one doesn't actually have an answer.
Because we can't use
that's
those.
That's because it's a family show.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Here's some of the examples that we came up with, or Kristen rather, who is brilliant and hilarious. "Dear Abby, I'm having some trouble with blank. and would like your advice. Dressage queens. Having some trouble with dressage queens and like would like your advice. I drink to forget blank. No syrup November.
Yes. That's
coming in. Oof. This is really my favorite. This is my favorite. Instead of coal, Santa now gives the bad children blank. Just my mirrors.
Love it.
This was Jamie's. PSA guidelines now prohibit blank on airplanes. Smart backs.
These are great. These are great. Well, you can find them all at horsenation.com. But what I really want to talk to you about, obviously, that needs to be a game. And if I could buy it, I would, because I have some really good fun in the barn tack room. Now, one thing that we talked about last week that you did right was an open letter to your non-horsey Facebook friends. And just to run through these, they're so true. It's so true. Your intro is, dear non-horsey Facebook friends, first of all, please know that I deeply value our special Facebook friendship. That's so dripping with sarcasm. It's awesome. What I am about to say to you is no reflection on you or our relationship. It's just something I need to get off my chest. You have to stop tagging me in every single horse photo, video, meme that you see on the internet. Seriously. Stop. It's so sweet. You know, I am one of my high school friends' moms is on Facebook, and she literally tags me in every single horse thing possibly. And of course, I don't talk to her, but she's very nice, and I don't want to like delete her from my page, but like, stop. So your first example was, please don't tag me in photos of random pretty horses. And your answer was very funny. If I'm really, really jonesing to see a photo of a pretty horse, I'll just Google pretty horse.
Which turns up 121 million search results in 0.3 seconds, for the record.
I'm pretty sure my horse is on there somewhere because I put him on the internet as a pretty horse. Don't tag me in false posts from unreliable sources. And one of the ones that actually was true, but it was years ago, we've even had adopters on our show, is the free 52 thoroughbred horses need home. Yes, they did need home. Somebody died and his farm was in liquidation and his son was like, I'm getting rid of all of them this weekend. And so a lot of people, everybody swooped in, grabbed these 52 thoroughbred horses and they're all fine and they all have homes. But for some reason, this won't die on the internet. It just keeps going around and around and around, and only non-horsey people keep it going.
Yeah.
Your non-horsey cousin sees that and goes, oh my gosh, Jamie needs to know about this.
Yeah, yes. We know.
We know. We get it. We understand. And that, of course, goes to your four horse myths still circulating on the internet is a link there. And that is the one that crushes souls.
Sorry, guys.
Now explain that. I've had this clip posted on my Facebook page, but I think it's just too long and I never got to it. And talk to me about the horse going in the creek.
Yeah, you know, like I feel like this is one of those like people thought it was hilarious and it's kind of cute, but the horse like just, I mean, it's like, I think it loses its charm. It loses some points because it's something that, like, we've all dealt with this. We've all had this happen to us ourselves. Like, the horse doesn't want to go in the water. It doesn't want to go in the water. And then finally it launches into the water. After, you know, several dozens of suspenseful seconds. which is probably why you've never made it to the end of it, end of the video. But yeah, it just keeps, people just keep sending it to me and sending it to me and sending it. It's like, oh, a horse that doesn't want to go into water and then jumps into water. Like, this is the best thing we've ever seen. Like, no. It's great. It's fine. But I've seen it a million times. We posted it on Horse Nation several months ago. Let's just, you know.
I mean,
in the cycle here.
from watching it, it was just a horse that didn't want to go in water. And as an eventer, Leslie, the way that we address water is you don't let them spin around and run away. So I got really irritated with it because, like, keep his nose at the water, keep his nose forward, keep him facing the water. And she just kept letting it. So that's probably why I never watched it. And that's the problem with being a horse person and watching non-horse people posted videos or posted pictures is as the horse person, you're like, oh, that's just wrong. Don't do that.
Yeah.
That's terrible. Yeah. That's bad horsemanship or that's dangerous or whatever. So anyway, you can find that on horsenation.com. And then finally, I love this segment. I love it. And I've always wanted to know how much work you actually do going into this. Do people submit it to you or do you go out and find it? And it is the 5 free horses in search of forever homes.
Yeah, Amanda Ronan does this. And I love this series so much. I think she goes, it's a mix. I know we've had some people submit to us before, but I think she sort of goes out and handpicks 5 horses that people are giving away, you know, for various reasons that look like really nice horses that look, you know, that seem that just really do deserve good forever homes. And I think she just kind of handpicks them and does a spotlight on them with some frequency, usually once a week, once every other week.
An article, that 5 horses that are free in search of forever homes, and they run the gamut from, like, one horse on here has a soft tissue injury and the girl's in college and she just can't afford to keep him for the year or whatever he needs to sit out, and he was also, he's kind of has trust issues, and then all the way to what I've seen on here before is just horses that can't do anything, that are just pasture pets, and they're always trying to find a good home for a pasture pet. Yeah. So anyway, there are horses with soundness issues. But anyway, you can check that out on horsenation.com. I think that's a really nice service that you guys do that. And I love Eventing Nation does it. Your sister site is the Off the Track Thoroughbreds that are up for adoption. I think, you know, you guys have a voice in the horse world that you can promote things like that and use your powers for good, not just evil. Not just evil. Use your powers for good as well, which I really appreciate. So at any rate, horsenation.com is where you can find all of it. And again, like I said, every once in a while, they use their powers for good.
Flawed superhero in your life.
Yes. Yes. Right. Exactly. Well, Leslie, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. And we will talk to, well, I guess you're not going to be here next week. Tell everybody where you're going.
I'm not going to be here next week. Yeah, I'm going to Rio to the equestrian events of the 2016 Olympics in Rio take place in about exactly 1 year from now. And so they do a test event the year before, right around the same time, so they can sort of have sort of comparable weather conditions, and they test out the venue. So they're having a horse trial at the venue, a 2-star event, and, you know, make sure all the logistics are in place and working, and the you know, if they need to tweak the venue at all. So I'm really interested to see what that's going to look like.
Who would be? Are there any Americans competing in it?
There aren't. No, we're not sending anyone down. The U.S. isn't. We're just sending down a few delegates from the USCS, and I think I might be the only American journalist going down.
Look at you! That's a big deal.
Yeah. I'm super, because I keep hearing, you know, these reports kind of seems like before every game, you know, these sorts of things people keep sending links to these news stories on the sewage and the, you know, the venues where they're doing the water sports and it sounds like a mess down there, but we shall see. I will go down and find out.
Absolutely.
Find out what we've got coming our way next year.
Well, that'll be fun. Congratulations on getting selected for that. And I know you'll have fun, and give us a full report when you get back, okay?
I will. Well, you guys have a great week.
You too.
Bye.
Bye. All right. Well, I don't think I have any more news to cover, Jennifer. I think we'll just end 10 minutes early and call it a day. Glenn is on his way to the airport, and you're going to have your husband home soon.
Shoo. Thank goodness. You have this, I'm sure, because you spend way too much time at home without your life's partner. Yes. I feel like all I do when Glenn's away is feed animals.
Oh, my God.
Just 24/7. As you get done feeding one batch, you just go start feeding the next batch.
See, but that's where we differ, because Glenn is the cook in your house.
Yes.
I have to also feed two humans. See, you don't have to do that. So it's almost like a little bit of a break when he's gone, isn't it? Oh, he's gone.
Yeah, but he's got to come home because I'm out of frozen pizza and I'm going to get hungry real soon.
I can have cereal every day. That's what happens there a lot in my house. Oh boy. Well, I'm glad he's coming home and you get to put that pony back to work. And I'm sure you probably got all those issues fixed while he was gone. So he thinks he did it, which is what a good wife will do.
I fixed the pony while he was away.
I love it. I love it. Yep. Well, listen, you guys have a great day. I hope he gets in safe and sound. And we will talk to you guys again. Oh, well, I'll be here Wednesday. So spay, neuter, geld.